Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's WTIC. 860-522-9842. It's Mikey Monday. Producer Mike is here. Hi, who's this? You're on WTIC. Hello there. Go ahead. All right, I'll put you back on hold and try somebody else. Hello there. Who's this?
Hello. I'm speaking. This is Mike in West Hartford. Can you hear me?
Hello, Mike.
Hi. You mentioned a few minutes ago, just sort of raised as an aside, the question of whether the guys that wrote the Constitution actually expect the former government to last forever, or how long they thought. And yep. I just happened to know something about a guy named Gorham, and he was one of the people at the Constitutional Convention. His name was Nathaniel Gorham. He was from Massachusetts.
And Gorham, is that what you're saying?
Gorham, yeah, G-O-R-H-A-M. Okay. And he commented at the convention that it is not to be supposed that the government will last so long as to produce this effect. They were talking about some part. Said, can it be supposed that this vast country, including the Western Territory, will 150 years hence remain one nation? Now, that was in 1787. 150 mm-hmm. years from then was 1937. That's close enough to me. I thought that was pretty good shooting. I don't know. I think all that illustrates is that I think maybe the people that were debating and writing the Constitution did not really think they were writing something that would be immortal, but something that would last a long time. And in their eyes, 150 years was pretty good. And I would agree with that, but I think we can make it last longer. It really pains me to see what's going on in Washington these days. But I thought that...
Yeah, well, I'm just wondering what the structural changes were. Like, if you and I could go back there, maybe we'd bring producer Mike with us just to be nice. And we went back and were part of the Constitutional Convention. What would we offer as inputs to give it more longevity?
I don't know, because I can't answer that question today. I wouldn't be smart 150 years ago. But
That's what I want you to do, is bring today's knowledge back. So if you think of something, call back. Thank you for that, Mike. 860-522-9842. That's the challenge. How would you make our system different so that it would have more longevity? Because the plunderers are getting away with stealing our system from us. Whoa! WTIC, 860-522-9842. We're taking phone calls, talking about the American system of government, the left's desire to continue to turn us more into the Soviet model and keep running up more debt so they can give free stuff to people. And Columbus Day we haven't gotten into, but we have to get into Columbus Day. Jeff Bristol, hello there.
Oh, I got way too much to talk about. Hey, first let me respond to the guy who just called a few minutes ago.
Yes.
He wanted to know why somebody would be voting for Biden without using the word Trump. So I'm a fiscal conservative. I was hoping that we would have a balanced budget like our current president promised when he was running. He said he was a successful businessman, knew how to balance budgets. And,
wait a sec. You're using the word Trump without using the word Trump.
Okay.
I think that's violating the premise.
Okay. Well, just.
But nevertheless, it's an interesting point. So go ahead and make it.
Okay. Well, I can say our current president, because I've got to talk about what I was hoping he could do.
Go to what you want.
Okay.
Voting for the future.
Okay. Right. I want a balanced budget. I want our wasteful government spending to be reduced, and I was hoping that a successful businessman would know how to do it, as he promised, and it hasn't happened. Normally, when you have a growing economy, the deficit goes down. That's throughout history. That's happened. It happened under
Obama. But what would make you think? I mean, of the two parties, the Democratic Party is firmly committed to a business model of spending money we don't have to buy votes.
Okay.
And the Republicans, I would say, are following along with that. You're right that they're not really better, but at least as their operational premise. They have an operational premise that requires them to pay some lip service to balance budgets. I grant you they're not doing the job, but on the other side is the party that is actively and deliberately convincing people that the American system of government means giving lots of free stuff to everybody who votes for Democrats. And how are we ever going to get out from under that burden if we...
Here's a key difference, though. The Republican Party, up until recently, up until the last generation, was always fiscally conservative, and they stuck to those policies. That has been completely abandoned ever since Ronald Reagan got elected.
But I would argue to you that the reason it's gone that way is because the Democrats have so convincingly sold the idea of free stuff to the electorate that Republicans are scared to stick to any principles. They feel the need to imitate the Democrats. And my feeling about politics is either you vote, if you get your party elected, even if your party's wrong on everything, at least they're your party because they pay lip service to principles that you believe in, and therefore you have some leverage over them to force them to do better. And if the Democrats are in power, like what leverage do we have over Jolly Ned right now? Unless you can start a movement like the anti-toll movement, where the Democrats in the legislature go to him and say, look, you can't do this. You'll destroy us. We'll be ruined and we'll lose the midterm elections if you keep pushing these tolls. So he gave up. But we have no leverage to get Ned to do good policy. The only chance we have for good policy is when our party is in power, and then we have to go beat their heads with a baseball bat to get them to do the right thing.
Okay, but see, here's the key difference between the two parties, is that at least with the Democrats, you know your taxes are going up. If they want something, they're going to pay for it, as Bill Clinton did. We had 4 years of balanced budgets in a row with Bill Clinton, and he actually increased spending at the lowest rate since LBJ. So at least we have had some sense of responsibility on a fiscal level, at least on the national stage among Democrats.
That's your proof going back to 1995? That's 25 years ago.
Running? No, not 95. The last balanced budget that we achieved on a national year was fiscal year 2001. Starting in 97 through 2001, four straight years, and I'm counting 2001 because the fiscal year on a national level ends on September 30th.
All right, whatever.
So that's
budgets. But who was running Congress where appropriations happened during those years?
The chief executive of the country gets the credit or the blame for anything that happens. You know how that's
if we want to be superficial and not view the reality. But we do know the reality was that Bill Clinton was under political pressure and he had run as a Democrat who would be able to win because he wouldn't be the foolish leftist that the other candidates like Fritz Mondale were who came before him. That doesn't mean, or Mike Dukakis, that doesn't mean that by electing another Fritz Mondale or Mike Dukakis or the crazy communists who are ruling the Democratic Party today, that we would get Bill Clinton. That's just silliness.
Right, but here's the difference. Bill Clinton negotiated with a Republican Congress, and he got something done. The Democrats, when they were trying to negotiate with Ronald Reagan, they couldn't get anywhere. Spending and debt exploded, and it was going in the wrong direction. And even under Trump, you had the Democrats for a while having some power, but they couldn't negotiate any spending reductions, you know, whether they wanted any or not. But it's got to come from the leader of the country. They've got to want some kind of deficit reduction. Under Obama, we had deficit reduction in all but one of his years when the economy started to grow again. That's what happens normally. So, you know, the buck stops at the chief executive, like Harry Truman said. So, you know, Trump wants to take credit for the good things, like a booming stock market or growing economy, but he doesn't want to take any of the blame for exploding deficits beyond any sense where we're ever going to be able to pay them back. And that's all what right. has disappointed me most, is he has not cut one dime of wasteful spending. And that's...
Yeah, and I don't think anybody will do that in the foreseeable future until there's some big change in our political system, because thank you, Jeff, for sticking with that and making that argument. I think you make a convincing point. I don't believe that the Democratic Party with Kamala Harris as president, which should be happening, you know, if Biden wins, as it looks like he's going to, then Kamala Harris will be president soon, most likely, and that will lead to her having to pander to this new extreme leftist energy that's driving the Democrats. 860-522-9842. It's 55 degrees. Sometimes you just have to punch these computers. What do you think of Jeff's argument? Are the Republicans worse on balancing the budget? It may just be, and this might just sound like making excuses, but even though we do blame the current president, that I feel like everything operates on a different timeline. So we know, for example, that Democrats want to do free health care for all. They want to do free college for all. They want to pay off people's college debts separate from future students. They want to pay off the debts for later students. They want to keep public sector workers in pensions. They don't want to cut the size of the post office, even though it's largely superfluous today. You know, there's nothing there that would ever cause them to reduce spending. So it may be Republicans just suffer from the flow of bad stuff that comes from the Democrats who precede them and vice versa. What do you think? 860-522-9842. Dana is here to talk about Columbus Day. Hi, Dana.
Hi. How are you, Todd?
Are you pro-Columbus or are you pro-Indigeni?
I am pro-America.
There's no place for you then at the table. Go ahead.
A simple thought that I've had today and spoke to a few people that no one has even thought about, but with all the leftist movement that's going on, you know, the riots and burning, and here in our state of Connecticut, under the Lamont administration, paid state workers, municipal workers, to tear down statues of Christopher Columbus. And I'm just kind of curious, when he did all of that, why he didn't take it off of the calendar as a holiday, since us taxpayers are paying all of the people that work for the state of Connecticut a holiday today.
Yeah, it's a really good question. What do you think the answer is?
And I'm not a big, you know, political person. I mean, I am in my heart, and I'm pro-America, but... You know, is that you can have your cake and eat it too?
Yeah, I think it is. Have your cake and eat it too. So is the argument, by the way. Is there any reason that now that the left has decided that Christopher Columbus is not worthy of a holiday? I wouldn't mind if they were proposing to cancel the holiday. But they're not proposing that. They're saying, oh, we have to have the holiday. But your person is bad, ours is good. And I don't buy that for a second.
And that's right. This, you know, the same as taking down any statue, you know, whether it's Pocahontas or Abraham Lincoln or my great-grandmother, who doesn't have a statue. But, you know, if you're going to take away the realm of what Christopher Columbus was, why don't you take away the paid holiday and the day off? You know.
Well, I'm with you on that. Thank you, Dana, for the call. 860-522-9842. Yes. You don't get to have both sides of the equation. You just don't. It's not fair. Get rid of the holiday if you don't like the holiday. I'd like to reduce the number of holidays. I know that's sacrilege because everybody loves their holidays. But come on, let's be a productive country and let's not have... I mean, we had a holiday on, what, September 3rd? And here it is 5 weeks later, another holiday. Does that make sense? November, another holiday. December, well, really 2 days in November. And 3 days maybe in December for Christmas. Isn't that overkill? And then January 15th, a holiday. February 12th, a holiday. Does March have a holiday? Maybe March is a month without one. It just seems like a lot of holidays to me. And that people don't take the holidays seriously as a result. You know, it kind of wears down the whole thing. So I would like to... The other thing is Indigenous Peoples Day. What is that? Who are these Indigenous people? And what makes them so good? They used to kill people and be brutal and racist and hateful. That's humans. The American experiment of government is about guaranteeing people protections. That the job of the government is to protect our rights. We are the system that eviscerates racism and bias and tries to make fairness part of the law of the land, right? That's who we are. Don't attack us because of other people being bad. Yeah, everybody in the past was bad, just as everyone in the present is bad. Do you seriously think in 10 years, 20 years, that the Democrats are not going to be raked over the coals for what they're doing to black people right now and minorities and poor people in general? For the brutality of the police, for example, which is the responsibility of the systemic racism that the Democrats put in place and refuse to let go of. Joe Simsbury, hi.
Hi there. You know, I really struggle with this whole thing about Columbus being evil and, you know, all the bad things that happen to Native Americans.
What's the struggle?
The struggle is that there was an article in the Wall Street Journal recently, and they said that modern humans were in Europe 30 to 40,000 years ago. And the purpose of the article was to say modern humans were actually in North America 30,000 years ago. So I'm sorry, but I wouldn't be here today if something didn't happen to those people who were in North America for about the same amount of time as people in Europe and really did absolutely nothing to advance their society. And I also have a real struggle with this because people like to forget, sure, maybe Columbus and some of his cohorts were bad people, but as recently as the War of 1812, or actually prior to that, the Native Americans were eating the Spanish. They were flaying their skin and hanging it up as a warning to people. They supported the British. In the War of 1812, they were slaughtering men, women,
yeah,
and children.
But they were only doing this because we put them in a bad mood. It's our fault, Joe. WTIC, 860-522-9842. Newington, it's Donald. Hello, Donald.
How you doing there? I'm just about talking about statues being knocked over.
Yeah, are you for it or against it?
How's that? What,
are you for it or against
statues?
It?
No,
yes, sir.
Not. Because this was for the Shriners Hospital with the child with the crutch on a gentleman's arm, and somebody mm-hmm. knocked it over in Newington here. And I don't even know why. I was totally flabbergasted that somebody had done something. So for an establishment that takes care of crippled children, that somebody would do something so weird and nuts.
Yeah, well, it's kind of Me Too-ism, I guess.
I don't even know. They don't even know what the statue stood for, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they were they just knew the thing to do now is to knock down statues because statues are bad.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just want to let that out there that somebody had done something heinous, and I'm not happy about it.
Well, I don't blame you for that. Donald, thank you for the phone call. 860-522-9842. Listen to this.
Federal unemployment benefits.
I went from making over, you know, $1,500 a week to, you know, now I'm just over $400 a week. There's no longevity to any of these plans. It just seems like next week we'll figure it out. Next week we'll figure it out.
That's a sound cut that was on one of the network newscasts. A plea for one of these bailout packages being tossed around in Congress to be passed. And I hate this. I hate this assumption in the media and in the culture that the right thing to do is to spend more money that we don't have on things that nobody has a right to, but everybody's been trained to think they have a right to. So I wanted to get your feedback on that as well. Does it make sense to you, this sense of expectation and obligation about free stuff? Did you want to say something, Mike? Oh, you looked so ready there, all up against the microphone and everything. Okay. We don't really have time. That's true. Yeah, it's WTIC. Dave in Simsbury, what's on your mind?
Yeah, you were talking about democracy before and how terrible it is.
I wasn't talking about democracy. I was talking about our system of government specifically. And if there was a way that you could have...
Churchill quote, right, about how democracy is bad, but everything else is worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my question was more specific, though. What could we do? Like, what did the founders get wrong that we now have a federal government that is a big, morbidly obese, destructive force in our lives when they thought they had built all these safeguards to avoid that?
Well, why do the Republicans keep giving so much money to the rich?
They don't.
I don't understand.
They don't give money to the rich.
He's going
to
cut. He's going to get rid of those tax cuts for the rich. We're giving trillions of dollars to rich people. That's what Trump
did. That's
giving, the first thing.
No, that's not giving people money.
Did. That's the only thing they did was give a massive tax cut for the rich. And how did
okay,
that,
a tax
how
cut
that
is
help
different.
You out? You're not making any money. You're probably living in your mother's basement. How does that help you out?
A tax cut is not giving somebody money. That's letting them keep what they've earned. So that's good. We just need more of that all around by having smaller government. What's wrong with that, Dave? What's wrong with the American
system
of government?
Is that how it works?
Dave, stop being just
an
abusive. All right, thank you. You know, I love talking to people who are of an opposing opinion, but you have to have some ability to discuss your point of view without just being abusive or throwing insults that have no meaning. Because you don't know anything about me, you're just making stuff up, pulling it out of your butt. What does that accomplish? But call when you know something and let's have a discussion. All I'm proposing is that we were supposed to have a small federal government. That was our system of government. And what happened? And how could we have avoided it? Joining us right now is somebody who might be able to address that. Justin Anderson is the Republican nominee for the 2nd Congressional District to take on Joe Courtney. Hello there, Justin. Welcome to WTIC.
Hey, sir. How you doing today?
Thank you for being here. I'm doing great. How are you doing? You're the one with the hard job to do. I just am living in my mother's basement.
I don't do that. You got to get out and work. Support the economy.
So what's tell us about your campaign.
Okay. Well, a little bit about myself. I grew up here in Connecticut in Middletown, Connecticut. Went to high school there. I served in the Connecticut Army National Guard for over 30 years. My current rank is a lieutenant colonel in the infantry. I deployed 4 times after 9/11, to include 2 combat tours in Afghanistan. I was an instructor at Officer Candidate School and also the commander down there for a couple of years. I also spent 20 years in the Department of Corrections in a maximum security prison. So I have a lot of background as far as federal and state governments and supporting the people of America. you know, currently.
What would you do to make prisons better?
Make prisons better?
Yeah. Because I have a couple of prisoners on from the state system on a regular basis, and from what I can tell, is there's no corrections in the Department of Corrections. There's no attempt to make the $50,000 a year that taxpayers pay to house people there productive in terms of making sure they won't recidivate the minute they hit the streets.
This is true, but there's a lot of reasons why people commit crimes, and the problem is. Is you can have somebody who has a heat of a moment crime who did something sometimes terrible. He walks in on his wife or lover who's with somebody else, and he can kill one or both of them. And that person will they'll do time, a lot of time, but they'll get out and they're not going to repeat. The problem is we have people who are brought up, you know, I'm not sure whether or not they're wired correctly, but some people just don't have moral character or moral background, and it allows them to keep on repeating these offenses. What you're really
so is there any percentage of them that you think of incarcerated people who just had a bad opening salvo at life? They were born into a lousy family. They had they were dealing with psychological abuse, physical abuse, awful parenting. Sick parents who were drug addicted or booze addicted. What percentage would you say had a horrible start in life and might have a chance to actually correct themselves
that's a great question. It's actually I believe that's a fairly large percentage. I don't have the, you know, exact numbers, but it's a
yeah. So that's the part I'm talking about. Let's say for sake of argument, it's 70%. Don't you think that something could be done to make the prison system produce a higher level of success?
The question here is, you know, can I change you? What do I do to change you as an individual? What if I don't like the way you perform or how you act or how you act out or your moral, you know, compass?
Well, if you were holding me in a cage, you would be in a – if you were holding me in a cage and controlled every ounce of my experience for 10, 20, 30 years, I would think you'd have a lot of influence.
No, not necessarily. People are who they are. I mean, you're assuming that we can somehow change somebody, you know, internally. You know, quite honestly, what happens with a lot of inmates is as they get older, they go in and out of the system. Their thought process and how they act, react, and there's a lot of reasons for it. And quite often, like you said, growing up in a bad neighborhood, drug addicted parents and stuff. You know, you can't always fault the individual, but they are who they are. Now the problem becomes is if they are going to keep on going out into society and commit crimes, what do you do? And we do have a lot of programs that are in there to try and help them, to educate them, to facilitate them. But quite honestly, the reality is, you know, if it's morally ingrained, you know, that they're going to act a certain way, that is, it's tough. It's tough to change an individual. And what you're really going to find is people aren't necessarily corrected, even though there are a lot of programs within the facilities, believe it or not. But the issue is what generally happens is people do it throughout their entire life until they get older. And they actually get tired of it because a lot of them will go in and out of the system, in and out of prison, and it doesn't seem to bother them, you know, quite that much. You know, not enough for them to say, "Hey, this was so bad, I'm going to stay out." So that's what the problem is. Really, what you're going to find instead
Justin,
of being corrected is that they get tired of living that life, and they get too old and too tired to keep on doing it, and then they eventually stop at some point. You know, quite a few of them.
Justin, hold on 1 second. I appreciate your willingness to go down this little tangent with me, Justin Anderson. Is running for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District. We'll continue with him in just a moment. Take me to the river. Come on. What do they do when they get there? That's the only thing I never understood about this song. He just keeps saying, take me to the river. All right, good. What are you going to do? Drink, swim, ride on top of the water? 860-522-9842. Justin Anderson is his name. I love when people are bold enough to run for office, and there's a certain craziness that has to take over you. What happened to you, Justin, that you decided to dive into such difficult waters, speaking of take me to the river? Justin?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry about that. That kind of was very low. As far as getting into the political
world. Yeah, why did you do such a crazy thing? Didn't everybody tell you? What are you, nuts?
I'll tell you, it's not easy. Here's the reality. You know, over 30 years ago, I joined the military because I'm young, I'm patriotic. I had grandparents who were both World War II Marine veterans. I come from a patriotic family. For all the same reasons 30 years ago, you know, I want a great future for us, for our kids. For America, and that's why I joined the military. That's why I'm patriotic. That's why I've gone off, you know, to combat, you know, to fight for America. But what I see right now is all my concerns, everything that concerned me and why I joined the military in the first place. I truly believe right now the battlefront for the future of America, right now it's in politics. So that's, you know, I was actually had a full-time job as a senior intelligence officer here in Hartford, Connecticut. And I realized, you know, the fight right now isn't, you know, being a soldier, you know, heading off to the foreign lands. We've got to take the fight right here, you know, to the politicians to make sure that we don't go down the wrong path, a path that maybe we can't recover from.
And what is the wrong path? What is the path that you fear that we're going down?
Well, you know, certainly, you know, if you look at the other party, it does seem like there's a leaning towards socialism. You know, I grew up in a, you know, a world where if you worked hard enough, anything could happen, anything was possible, and it all came down to hard work. And if you were hard, if you were smart, you know, if you can come up with something good, you could be successful. You know, what we're looking at right now is, you know, a whole generation, you know, that doesn't feel that same way. They're thinking about how.
Yeah, but don't you understand that old system you're talking about was a hateful system that expected people to work and have jobs and have to pay their own way and was racist and controlled by evil white people and evil corporations? Didn't you realize all that was bad?
No, I guess I don't, because I was brought up in a system where you actually, it feels good to go out to being productive, you know, to be productive in society. You know, some of the best, you know, times and feelings that I have is when I'm out there and I'm working hard, and I'm working hard with other people. Teamwork. Teamwork is one of the best things you can do, is when you're out there working with a group of people, you will get a bond. The harder it is, the tighter that bond is. That's why you get those bonds within the military. Basic training is super tough. I've been through a lot of experiences, and the tougher they were, the better the bond, the better experience, and the better character you have when you come out of it. So hard work is a fantastic thing. Absolutely.
All right, Justin Anderson is running for Congress in the 2nd District. Joe Courtney, make a pitch for yourself. Convince people in the next minute or so why you're the guy.
You know, well, the bottom line is we're in a very divisive world right now, okay? The stuff that I care about, my platform, okay, we need to ensure public safety, you know, both against criminal acts and COVID-19. We need to support our law enforcement, hold them to the higher standards, you know, which is easy to do here in Connecticut. We have to have an inclusive healthcare system that protects pre-existing conditions, but also does not strip the current good plans out there. We have 150 million people with good healthcare plans. We don't strip those from those for like a single payer system or something along those lines. Social Security, that's got to be protected. That's got to be enhanced. We got to be in Connecticut, certainly. We have to become more business friendly. We have to ease taxation on our citizens right here in the state and as a nation as a whole. And right here in Connecticut, more personally, we got to take care of local problems such as the Crumlin Foundation, small farming, and the fishing industry. This is all stuff that we got to look into very hard. That's kind of my platform, but I actually got endorsed by the Connecticut State Police Union, so I'm very pro law enforcement. I think nothing happens unless you have the security of the citizens of both your state and your nation, and that comes first. And then we can worry about these other problems, and they're big problems because there's a lot of stuff that we have to address within this nation, to include stopping the division, you know, amongst Americans.
All right. So, what do you want from people? What do you want them to do? What action can they perform on your behalf?
Well, you know, one thing is you have to look at the people who you're voting for. I think one of the situations is a lot of, especially at the state level, you know, people promise a lot of stuff. But the reality is decisions are being voted upon over and over again, and they're detrimental. They're detrimental to the state. If you have somebody who's going to, you know, not understand how economics works, and not understand if you overtax a small business or any you know, major business in this state, they're just going to leave. And if you do it at the federal level, well, they can just leave. They can go offshore. You know, we got to make sure that, you know, the country as a whole is business friendly to keep the business here, because the business that is here pays employees. And all those employees, guess what? They pay taxes. You know, they contribute to the economy. You know, they help the economy grow. And all that has to happen. It's all part of basic economics. And this is a lesson somehow we're forgetting. We're kind of forgetting how all this works. But, you know, we can attack the biggest, you know, businessmen that there are out there. But the reality is they have a choice whether or not they want to be in your state, in your country, or go elsewhere, because the bigger ones can do it. They can do it. So we got to keep that in
all right,
mind.
What's your website? Can we point people to your website so they can track you down?
Yes, sir. So it's JustinAndersonForCongress.com, and I'm also on Facebook. easy to look up, and most of my positions are pretty much on there. If you hop on a website, you can check out my my positions on a lot of topics, and also there's a little PDF that has my background in it. I have a pretty extensive background, so it's worth looking up.
All right, Justin Anderson, thanks so much for being here. Good luck with the campaign.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thanks for your time.
JustinAnderson.com. I think he said is the website, right? 860-522-9842.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.